They also say the cause of his death at a prison in Siberia is not yet known. Elsewhere in the country, Russian police are arresting people at memorials and rallies being held for Mr. Navalny. A human rights group says that over 200 people have now been detained. Meanwhile, Volodymyr Zelensky says his troops were pulled out of an eastern Ukrainian town this morning to save lives. Some soldiers were captured by Russian forces as they left Avdiivka. He says the West had continued to back his armed forces to fight back against Vladimir Putin. Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer supports that call.
He is absolutely right to remind us of the ever-present threat of Russia and the aggression that continues in Ukraine. And we stand with Ukraine, we stand with our allies and international partners, and we stand as one in the United Kingdom.
New round-the-clock wearable drug pump that will help Parkinson's patients better manage their condition is being rolled out on the NHS in England. Its aim is to ease symptoms for people who have stopped responding to tablets. In sport, Liverpool are hoping to stretch their lead at the top of the Premier League away at Brentford this lunchtime. Live to Nigel Bidmead, who's watching.
Well, it's certainly going their way because Mo Salah has just made it to Liverpool 3, Brentford 0. We've been playing for 67 minutes here in West London, and Darwin Nunez opened the scoring on 35, then Alexis McAllister with the second and Salah with the third. Brentford 0, Liverpool 3.
Title rivals Arsenal take on Fulham from 3, with Manchester City playing Chelsea this evening. In the Scottish Premiership, leaders Celtic face Kilmarnock. In cricket, India are 332 runs ahead of England in the third test. The hosts close day 3 on 196 for 2. That's the latest. I'm Charlie Maggs.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
So just a reminder, this afternoon going to be pretty much grey and overcast as it has been all day, but feeling quite mild actually. But tonight it's going to become very breezy, turning very wet with some heavy rain throughout the night, right until dawn tomorrow morning. Temperatures will stay mild though, overnight temperatures of around 12 degrees. Now tomorrow, that rain will clear mid-morning, leaving a largely dry day with some bright spells during the afternoon, but feeling quite overcast towards tea time. Again, staying mild with 14 degrees temperature, and the outlook from Monday to Wednesday, showery rain early on Monday, then becoming drier and brighter Tuesday onwards. Looking pretty good all week actually, average temperature about 14 degrees all week, so all in all, signs of good spring is on its way.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
Third and final hour of the weekend wind up. I'm really thrilled to say that Nick from Nick and Tricks is in the studio. We'll be back after this next track. Get the kettle on. We'll see you in 5.
Like a heat-seeking missile, you got yourself a smile a mile away.
You're floating through gravity divide. It's hell for leather on a helter-skelter. Just steal your nerves for a fight.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
It is indeed. Welcome back to the show. Now, as promised, I'm really thrilled today to have a special guest in the studio. We are joined once again by Nicky Trix. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. Here he is.
Yeah, here I am, and here are you. How are you?
I'm really good. It's been a while.
It has indeed. It has indeed. So let's remind people. So Nicky Trix is one of the most popular, and I was thinking about this earlier today on the way in, actually. Before we start, I've seen many people over the years kind of in your field that kind of touch on it, and for whatever reason, they've either lost heart with it or the world's taken over or they've moved on to something else. You're still there. You're still going there. And it's still working. So let's introduce you. Go on. Tell us a bit about yourself.
I'm like a bad smell, am I?
I've got the window open, don't worry.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, my name is Nick. I run two companies, one called the Nicky Trix Show and one called Nicky Trix Live. The Nicky Trix Show specialises in providing entertainment for parties and corporate events, private functions, public events. And I'm primarily a magician and ventriloquist for family audiences. And then Nicky Trix Live specialises in taking those things, but on a bigger scale, to local theatres. So
holiday parks, things like that.
Not so much holiday parks anymore. More theatres now.
Oh, great!
Used to do the holiday parks, but yeah, I stopped that about a year and a half ago. Still do the odd few every now and then, but nowhere near on the scale that I used to. So,
and would you say magic changed over the past, even though the past 5 years? Because obviously you always get now, don't on the kind of talent shows and stuff, you get people coming on to things like Britain's Got Talent, and you get so-called magicians coming up. And for me, and I don't know whether I'll be right in saying this, you're the expert, but it's always somebody trying to do something bigger and better than anyone else, and I think it's losing the heart of what magic is, which is making people feel engaged and think, oh, you know, this is magic, rather than this big, glorious, shiny spectacle, but there's no heart behind it. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yeah.
And how is the industry now? Has it changed in the past 5 years?
It's changed quite drastically. I think mainly because, particularly during the COVID situation, a lot of stuff went online. You can't really do the bigger stuff online. It goes to cards, coins, little things that you can see through a phone, you know, that people are watching on TikTok and social media. And I think that magic of live, it's gone a little bit, which is what I'm trying to bring back. Live entertainment. And even on TV now, you know, it just seems to be things that those old school entertainers that we used to have, they're crying.
No, exactly. And I think if anyone's not been to see you before, one of the things that always stands out for me is the fact that, you know, there's an element of, you know, the kids enjoying, you know, with your puppets and things like that. But you see the kids' faces, it's the wide eyes, it's the mouth open, and it's all of that. And, you know, I think you lose that translation, don't you, on TV a little bit? You really do.
Massively.
It's that interaction. So what are you working on at the moment? So as you're in to talk about, you've got the forthcoming shows coming up. What are they? Where are they? What can people expect?
Sure. So there's lots of shows coming up. A lot of them, there's no point me explaining them because they're not in this area, but I'll go into the ones that people can come to that are in Thurrock, Southend and Brentwood.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually see all the dates. You never know where our listeners are really coming from, do you, these days? We could have people in Norfolk. They could be coming from everywhere. I don't know why they'd listen in Norfolk if they're, you know, listen to a Brentwood show.
Well listen, I was saying this morning to Cameron, one of our newer presenters has joined. About 6 months ago, I came into an email from somebody saying, really enjoying the music today. I listened to it while I'm getting ready. He lives in Delhi.
Wow.
No idea how he found me. He just did, and he listens in every week. And
wow.
And I get occasional messages coming saying, really enjoying this. And so you never know, do you, where people are listening
from? No, you never do.
That's the thing.
Yeah. So, shows. Next week, when the kids are off. Some of the kids are off this week. Some of the kids are off
this week.
Yeah,
it's split.
Yeah, a bit strange. But anyway, if your kids are off and you're listening, next week, Tuesday.
Or if you're not, take them out of school and take them down there, enjoy yourself,
off. Pay the fine. Next week, Tuesday, Thameside Theatre, the fabulous February show. And it's going to be fabulous. There's magic, there's ventriloquism, there's puppets, there's comedy, there's competitions. Something for everyone in that show, really. Grown-ups will enjoy it.
And also, as well, genuinely, tickets are selling very, very well, you know, as they always do with yours. But it's like, you know, quite often sometimes you might get somebody in and go, last remaining tickets, and there's like, last remaining 20 rows are left. But this is, grab your tickets now because it's almost sold.
I'm not exaggerating when I put up on my socials, grab the last tickets. There was only two tickets left. And I had some comped tickets for it, for friends and family, but unfortunately can't make it now. So I released about another five. So there's now seven tickets. That was yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
I actually haven't checked today, so that there might be less tickets available now.
But their show is also the Brentwood Theatre, you say. Is it the Brentwood Theatre?
Yeah, so there's a different show at Brentwood Theatre. There's actually two shows at Brentwood Theatre this year. One's in April, which is my Easter extravaganza show. And that's a magic and puppet show, all with a comedy Easter theme. That's going to be at the Brentwood Theatre on Thursday, the 11th of April. Two shows at 11 and 1:30. I'm also back there in October with my Halloween Howls show. I think I'll come back on if I can, and we'll have a chat about that
of
the time.
Of course, yeah.
Because I don't really think people they're not even booking their summer holidays yet.
We're just over Christmas, and we're just heading towards Easter, exactly.
And January felt like it went on forever.
Didn't it?
So, and I'm also at a new venue, haven't been there before. I'm really looking forward to going there for my first time. I'm at the Palace Theatre Dixon Studio, which is in Southend.
Lovely venue.
Yeah.
Lovely, lovely venue. It's a really, it's a gorgeous building. It's got a lot of history.
Yeah.
But the Dixon Studio is lovely, the way it's set out. It's bigger than you think, and the way it's set out, you get a real interaction with the people on the stage. It's lovely.
Great.
It's a really great venue.
I've been to the Palace Theatre many, many times. Gorgeous old theatre.
Yeah,
I haven't ever been to the Dixon Studio. I've heard great things
about
lovely.
It. It's lovely. It's really nice, yeah.
Well, I'm there on Saturday the 4th of May. I'm there with my Magic and Mayhem show, which is a different show. I like to keep people on their toes, because even though I go to so many different areas, some places half an hour, 20 minutes, sometimes an hour and a half in between. It's amazing. You still get the odd one or two that goes, oh, we came to such and such. That's amazing.
Yeah. Do you have a preference to the type of show you do?
Yeah. As in, well, I do four different theatre shows. Do you mean what's my favourite?
Yeah, really, because obviously, you know, as you say, you do shows aimed at sort of young children. You do the more adult style show. You do kind of magic and whatever. Is there a particular kind of
like a target audience kind of thing?
Yeah, but also genre. You know, you know, because I know you are. And this is not, you are what I would call an old school entertainer. You entertain because sure. you like your old school influences. Yeah. We've talked about this many times on this show before. Mm. You know, your influences from kind of comedians and stuff like that. And I can see that bleeds into your act, which I think is amazing because, I think it's an absolute travesty when you don't bring with you people from the past.
It's dying,
the legacy.
It is.
Yeah. It's respect, and you need to do that because those people worked, and that's how it worked, and that's what you do. You know.
They did.
You know. So I was just curious as to what your personal preferences were around the style of show you do and the kind of the audiences and things like that.
Okay. So I think preference always family. You know, I wouldn't like to entertain just a room full of children or just a room full of adults on their own. I do that regularly, particularly in primary schools. Great fun. You know, when you've got 500 students there, ranging from ages 3 to 11, and you have a couple of teachers sat round the side, that's great fun. Absolutely love it. But my favourite audiences are family audiences, ranging from babes in arms to, those wrinkly things on sticks. What are they called?
Pensioners.
Pensioners, yeah, I was thinking cocktail sausages. But yeah, pensioners. I had to get that in. I had to do it.
We're going to get there one day. We're all going to get there one day.
They're my favourite. A real mixed bag. It's just great fun, you know.
How do you manage an audience? So if you, you know, for me, if somebody would get up on stage, could confidently do it and talk and perform and whatever. But managing an audience is very tricky, from children to adults and whatever.
Sure.
How do you manage your audiences? So, for example, with kids' shows, the kids are very excited, they're very energetic. How do you keep the focus and keep together what you do?
Okay. So my shows work like the sea. Waves. Go up, comes down, you know. And I try and throw something in for everyone. There's some fantastic children's theatre shows out there that are very much aimed at the under fives, you know, your CBeebies things. And that is very much, we are there for the children. And then you get your stand-up comedy shows. For example, I went to see Brian Connolly a couple of nights ago.
Was he good?
He was fantastic. But that's aimed at just adults, you know. So I throw something in for everybody. So I'm ticking a lot of boxes. There's things that the children are going to laugh at. There's things that adults are going to laugh at. Nothing blue. But at the same time, adults can also enjoy watching their children laugh and find that quite funny.
Yeah.
So, in terms of controlling them and how do I keep them engrossed, I like to go up with things and come down. I do things that are sort of calm, quiet and collective. Get that pathos in there with that music and sound effects, just to sort of keep them engrossed. And then I might do something that's really crazy or, you know, something that explodes and full of colour. So there's so many different things and different puppets, different magic tricks, different music. There's all them little magnets, as I like to call them, that keeps pulling them in.
And I would imagine as well for a performer like yourself that it's absolute gold when you get an engaged audience and they kind of take part, because you can feed off of them and it just builds, doesn't it? And that energy builds.
You know this, from your background of theatre and stuff. And I stand by this. You're only as good as your audience.
Absolutely.
Paul Daniels, God rest his soul, great magician, he didn't believe that at all. You know, he didn't believe in a bad audience at all. He felt that it was all on you. I don't know if I agree with that. I was a huge Paul Daniels fan, but
I don't agree with it, because I've got instances I can recall immediately over the years where I think, and I'm my own biggest critic, but I've come off and I thought, no, actually, I did a cracking performance there.
Yeah.
And it was a terrible show.
And yeah. It was a terrible show. And then there have been other occasions where I come off saying that's the most amazing show. And when I reflected on my performance, I got words wrong. I missed bits out of scripts.
Yep. Yep.
But the audience loved it.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, you're right. It is the audience that carries that.
They do make it. And come on, kids are the best critics.
Yeah.
If I'm bad, they'll tell me I'm bad.
That's why I know, and we've talked about this before, but that's why I always bang on about this. And it really annoys me, just going off on a tangent slightly, the snobbery around pantomime, because... Mm. It's the hardest job, but it's also the most rewarding job, because if the audience come away screaming and shouting and loving it, you're right, it makes the show, the show. So with regard to, tell us a bit about your kind of your history. So I mean, I know I'm aware of it, but anyone who doesn't know you, kind of your influences and kind of, you know, how you've got to where you are today.
Yeah, sure. So it all kind of started when my mum dropped me on my head when I was a baby.
She's still doing it.
She's still doing. She throws me up in the air, bless her, and she walks away. I was four. I was 4 years old, and my grandmother took me to Greystown Centre. I'm a Thurrock lad myself. Sorry, listeners. I put a right down.
As am I.
You are.
Let's not knock it.
So my grandmother took me to watch a Punch and Judy show in Grays, and I went to holiday parks and saw magicians, ventriloquists. My mum always took me to circuses when they were in town. And unlike the boys at my school, I was never really into football, sports. I was always into drama and the arts, always being taken to pantomimes, which is so much fun. And I think it's really important to sort of do a great job in theatre, because those youngsters, you know, 10, 15, 20 years' time, you do a good enough job, they're going to bring their children. So, and I was one of them. I watched it. I enjoyed it. I always had a puppet on my hand. What a weird kid.
I think just wider than going back to what you just said, though, I think if you do a good job, you are also opening doors mentally for some of those children, thinking, actually, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, or I'm passionate. That was me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, rather than just me. Yeah.
So, sorry, go on. No, not at all. So throughout school and things like that. I'm not academic. I hated everything. I'm not afraid to admit that. I didn't get on with school. I got on with the teachers. I got on well with them, because I was always very, you know, old head. I think because of what I was brought up on. You know, my nan used to sit me down when I was little. This is Sid James. You know, this is Barbara Windsor. This is Danny LaRue. All the old greats. And I've always got on better with the older generation. I think I'm an old head, and I'm born very much in the wrong body. You know, I think I'm sort of 50s.
But that's very true, though. So if you take someone like Danny LaRue, for example, I remember hearing years ago somebody saying that, you know, traditionally, if you were playing working men's clubs, you know, and the real tough working men's clubs, you know, maybe the northern ones, the Scottish, traditionally the ones that were tough, you know, they said they could send in these really young, up-and-coming, trendy comics, and they would never, never, ever calm an audience down. They said you could send Danny LaRue in, who traditionally is polar opposite of what those people are kind of used to.
Yeah.
Danny LaRue, he could calm a club down within 10 seconds with his... Because he's old school, and he knows how to work an audience, and that's what it is, yeah?
Bring him up, you know, bring them down, like I said earlier, with the waves.
The waves, yeah.
Throughout school, stuck to it. I wasn't one of those that kind of lost their way. A lot of teenagers will find a hobby, and then they'll lose their way with it, because they discover the opposite sex, or they discover music, or they discover something that just kind of pulls them away from it. I never really lost interest of it. I stuck with it. My parents took me to, and my grandparents took me to parties at the weekend. Even whilst I was at school, I'd finished school, I couldn't have detention. This was another topic that teachers were always talking about. Why can't you ever attend detention? Because I'm working. It's terrible, really, but I was, you know, after school, sorry, miss, I can't have detention today. I'm going to do a kids party. Well, that's Nick, you know, and I stuck to it. I didn't stop. When everybody else kind of left school and went and found their careers, I carried on my career.
But the whole mindset around that is interesting, isn't it? Because rather than think to yourself from a and this is nowhere near, nowhere a knock on education, but rather than think negatively, oh, the negative connotations of, oh, he can't come to detention. What about, well, he can't come to detention because he's working, because he's exploring what, you know, you can't have it both ways. It's really difficult.
It was new to them.
Yeah.
You know, not many teachers can say, we had such and such come to our school, and this isn't me, but oh, did I do well, guys? It's more the fact of teachers aren't used to students saying, I can't, I'm afraid, I'm working.
Have you ever come across teachers later in life and gone to any parties and they've been there and stuff like
that?
Or, yeah.
And a lot of them use me now for their grandchildren's birthday parties and things like that, family functions.
Paying it on, legacy, you see. That's what
it's nice, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
I always say this, whenever I go and see someone that's hired me, you know, whatever, 10, 15 years ago they saw me, and I don't know this till I arrive, I always say to them, thanks for remembering me. You know, thanks for that. Thanks for remembering me. That means I did something right. Thank you. They go, oh, that's all right. You know, it's just nice to return.
And it's also as well, it's it makes it less transactional, that you're not just a booking where you've gone, yeah, we've booked him, great job, bye-bye, off you go. It's kind of, it's that silly little thing of the engagement about saying thank you, them saying thank you to you, you saying thank you for remembering me. It sinks in, and you're going to, in the future, you're going to go back and you're going to go, actually, that was a great booking, let's go back and let's do that again. And that's what it is, and again, it's building your legacy. So who would you say your strong influences are through the industry?
Strong influences, Keith Harris, Orville the Duck, Ray Allen, Lord Charles, you know, we're on the ventriloquists here, Arthur Worsley, Charlie Brown, that might be before a lot of our listeners' time, Dennis Spicer. Unfortunately, Dennis Spicer was killed in a dreadful car accident when he was 29, and he was killed in his beautiful new sports car, and he's a massive inspiration of mine. Fantastic ventriloquist. I didn't actually discover him until I was in my adult.
Yeah, I don't know him. I don't know him. I'll be honest
with
you. Check
him out later.
Check him out, yeah.
Yeah, and our listeners. He was on the Royal Command performance just at the height of his career. 2 weeks later, fatal car accident, which is a real shame. But what a great ventriloquist.
Terrible. And you talk about Keith Harris there. I saw Keith Harris live once, and I must admit, I went into it. Was it wasn't a tour, it was a cabaret booking, and I thought, well, God, I'm going to hate this. And I come away from there absolutely in love with the man.
What an old pro, eh?
Good how old. He used that, and it was that slightly edgier side that only adults got, the kids didn't get, but nothing blew, and it was just really, it was a master at work.
And I think that approach that Keith had, and a lot of people will remember seeing Keith at Butlin's, so I feel quite confident when I say this, that's what my shows are. It's not blue, but there's little things that go over the kids' heads.
Yeah.
There's things that the adults are going to
little nods like. That make you go, I get this, I get this,
yeah. It's like, oh, okay, this guy's pretty good. He's not just a, you know, he's not just a kids' entertainer.
And it's also a nod from an audience to say, you haven't forgotten me, you're not just here for the children, you haven't forgotten.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, ventriloquists growing up, not so much magicians. I liked magic. My generation, I grew up watching people like Stephen Mulhern. When he had his, because obviously he started out as a children's TV presenter. I think he used to do a children's TV show called Tricky TV. I used to tune in and watch that. But I'd actually say my biggest inspiration that kind of broadened my horizon to a lot of the people that I look up to was a programme that was on CBBC, and it had Ted Robbins, I believe is his name.
Yeah, yeah.
Great old...
Kate Robbins' brother, yeah.
And say that again, sorry.
Kate Robbins' brother.
Yes,
yeah.
Where's he from? Liverpool?
Liverpool, they're related to Paul McCartney. They're cousins of Paul McCartney.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a programme called The Slammer, and it was a showbiz prison. And he played the governor.
I'm trying to see if I remember that.
Later on, when you're off air, just check it out. The greats that went on that, you know. We're waffling here, I'm going off topic, but what a fantastic show. They're great people on there every week.
I think, last time you came into the studio, I think after that, I'm pretty sure it was before this came on, did you see The Last Laugh in Vegas?
Yeah, I've seen that many times.
And I thought of you, and I think you came in just before that, when you had all the greats that went out in your Cannonball and all those people, and they
Mick
Miller and Sue Pollard and all that, and it was just the most... amazing show.
Heartwarming, wasn't it?
It was.
You know.
It was at one point, I'm not going to lie, I was tearing up because I just thought, What a legacy these people leave.
Yeah, they
what,
do.
What a legacy
they
these
really
people
do.
Leave.
It's about that. It's about that legacy. You know, people say to me, do you want to be famous? I go, not really.
I want to work.
I want to work. I want to do a good job. And I want people to remember what I did and go, we saw him. Just like I'm doing now. I'll drive high and low of the country. I'll drive to stupid lengths. And my friends and family who aren't in the industry go, you're nuts. Why are you driving to Birmingham? Because such and such is in that pantomime. And I can say, when I get to a certain age, I saw them. I saw such, and they left, you know, that mark on me.
And also as well, if you come away either from being in a show yourself or seeing the show yourself, if that show has an impact on you, that journey home is irrelevant because you don't remember the journey because you're thinking about the show all the way home.
Yeah.
It does.
It really does.
You take that with you, and that's what it is.
You do.
So, as we wrap up, tell people about the shows, where they can find out more information, reminders of the dates. I mean, all this will be on the show pages over the weekend anyway, but just where can people find out about you?
Sure, yeah. So, I'm not hard to find. Crime Watch every week. is that still on?
Yeah,
no, it's
well,
not,
we are from Thurrock, we can say that.
Yeah, we're from Thurrock. Yeah. Although we are going up market. This year we're having Kentucky Fried Pheasant for Christmas.
Well, yeah.
So, you can find out about me on all the socials. I'm on Facebook, I'm on YouTube, I'm on Instagram at The Nicky Tricks Show. Nicky, N-I-C-K-Y, Tricks, T-R-I-X. I'm cool like that. I'm down with the kids.
Down with the kids.
And you can find out all the information that you need on there for shows, how to hire me as well for private functions, things like that. But all of the theatre shows you can find on there. I'm always plastering it all over the socials. But if you want to see just the theatre shows in particular, the best way to find out my tour dates is by going over to nickytrickslive.co.uk. I'm always updating that, wherever I'm going to be appearing. And just a quick recap, there's very few tickets left, as you said, for next week at Thameside Theatre. That's on Tuesday the 20th, and that's a fabulous February show. My next public appearance after that in a theatre will be the Easter Extravaganza show, just up the road from where we're obviously recording this now. That's at Brentwood Theatre. That'll be on Thursday the 11th of April. Two shows, 11 and 1.30. And after that, if you don't manage to catch that, I'll be at the Palace Theatre, Dixon Studio, with my Magic and Mayhem show, and that's on Saturday the 4th of May. And once again, you can find out the information about those on either my socials, at The Nicky Tricks Show, or by going over to nickytrickslive.co.uk and clicking on tour dates.
And I strongly urge as well anyone who's thinking of going to the Brentwood show to get those tickets in pretty quick, because we know that it sells out, because it's half term and it's a busy time anyway. So, listen, good luck with it all. And
thanks, mate.
See you later on in the year, because come and talk about the Halloween show. We'll get that booked in. And, go and check Nicky out. As I said, this will be on my show pages over the weekend, the interview and all the links to all the socials anyway. And good luck with next week.
Thanks, fella.
You take care.
Leolino Billericay is an exquisite modern Lebanese restaurant featuring a beautifully expansive outdoor garden and a private dining room, a perfect setting to celebrate any occasion. We take pride in serving traditional dishes infused with a delightful modern twist, meticulously crafted using only the finest ingredients. To book a table or inquire for an exclusive venue hire, call us at 01277 714 777 and join us to indulge in the epitome of modern Lebanese hospitality.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytelford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out, with two bars, a restaurant and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. On the 5th of February, it's top DJ Roman Kemp. And on the 12th of February, it's the Stars of House with Marcus Dryden, Mickey Star Lewis and Daryl Privet. Check us out and book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
There we go. Yes, Sunita there. I don't believe in miracles. Now, appreciate jumping around today, aren't we? Because obviously we've had a busy, busy show. So later than usual, we now have today's Take 5. So three back-to-back pieces of music that enables you to sit down, have a chill and have a relax and have a moment to yourselves. So I hope you enjoy these.
Things that I'm long frightened you'll slip away. You must love me.
Sunshine or leave, I'll
Today's Take Five. So kicking things off, we had Where the Indian Starts by Bucks Fizz. Then we had Madonna, You Must Love Me. And finally, for me, one of the greatest songs ever, Sunshine on Leith by The Proclaimers. So if you've got any suggestions for next week's Take Five, do please get in touch and let me know. I'd love to hear from you.
EV Charging Systems, your local, independent and experienced specialist home and workplace charge point suppliers and installers. With over 1,000 installations throughout Essex and East London and a 5-star excellent Trustpilot rating, we provide great personal service and are committed to help Essex drivers go green. Visit www.evchargingsystems.co.uk or call us on 01268 710 459. Install, charge and go with EV Charging Systems.
Strictly Air Ambulance is back, and so am I, Lisa Snowden, and my fabulous co-host, TV presenter, David Whiteley. Join us and our celebrity judges, Strictly's Nadia Bichkova and Kai Widrington, and their professional dance partners compete for the Strictly Air Ambulance Glitter Ball on Saturday the 9th of March at the Brentwood Centre. All profits go to Essex and Hearts Air Ambulance, your local life-saving charity. For tickets, search Essex and Hearts Air Ambulance Strictly.
Are you looking for a reliable local travel agent to book your next holiday? At Not Just Travel Brentwood, we can book tour operators such as Jet 2 Holidays, TUI, Hayes Travel and many more. We package any type of holiday together with full atoll and APTA protection, giving you complete peace of mind. Visit our website, dinaandwarren.notjusttravel.com, and let us take away the stress of booking that dream getaway.
The team at St Francis Hospice are challenging you to get outdoors and make a difference by taking on the Walk 100 Challenge. Simply walk 100k in March, in your own time and at your own pace, all in aid of your local hospice. Visit the St Francis Hospice Facebook page. You can find all the details you need and sign up for the Walk 100 Challenge.
Stephen Bishop there, It Might Be You, which is the theme from Tootsie. So that's it from me today. What a show. It's been quite chaotic at the beginning. Very busy. Thanks to my guest, Nicky Trix. Really appreciate him coming in. Mark's here, a bit of film and DVD review. Now, John's going to be with you from 3 with the Phoenix Sports Show. So make sure you get the kettle on, keep him company. He's got some great updates for you. Great music, great chat. And he'd love to have your company. So make sure you stay tuned and speak to... spread the word. Speak to people and get them to tune in to listen to Phoenix 98 FM. Whatever you're doing and whatever you're up to, listen, you have a great weekend. Loads of great telly on. But if you're out and about socialising, as I know some of you are, have a great time. And I will see you next time. For the next week and wind up, you have a cracking few days.
Across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.